stops working. I want to talk about that as well. The one day at a time. He gives us the strength to do every day what He wants us to do. Okay, and this is really, these are all things that if you heard those words as you were singing them, really thought about the words and appropriate those words, it always brings something closer to your being. So last week was such an awesome week of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
in our midst.
Yes.
What did you say that?
Oh, yes.
You know, He's in our midst doing what He wants to do. And last week, for some reason, there was more of a sense of His presence that I think most people noticed.
Yes.
Would you agree to that?
Yes.
It wasn't something that was like dramatic. We weren't all speaking in tongues and running around and laying hands on people and doing all kinds. But there was something deep that the Holy Spirit manifested Himself through inside of all of us. There was a peace, and there was a sense of wonder and even power inside, although we didn't see it like overt, where you could actually see all these grand things happening, but there were grand things happening on the inside. So didn't you feel that last week? That's how I looked at that. And talking with the elders and deacons on Tuesday, we all felt the same thing. That it was absolutely just a beautifully run service because it was the Holy Spirit. Yeah, and I think that happens all the time with us, but God did something special in that. And I want to talk about that because, what if you like that to be the normal?
Yes.
And then we go higher after that.
Yes.
It isn't that we want to settle for that. And one thing that we've really got to be careful of is that when God manifests Himself in a particular way, if that is the only way, if we try to reconstruct that ourselves, it doesn't work. We can't expect that that's the only way that God manifests Himself. He's going to move through us in many, many different kinds of ways. Right? And so it's important for us to just have that openness to the Spirit of God. And I think that really was true last week. And nobody had a particular agenda that certain things had to be said or done. We were just trying to hear the Spirit. The Spirit spoke and people obeyed and people had a real openness to the Lord last week. So I hope that we just continue that. And that all depends on us anyway, doesn't it? God pours His Spirit out. The Lord does not force Himself on anybody. And there's a lot of, I'm going to be talking about the Holy Spirit this week, next week, and in the number of weeks leading up to Pentecost. So there's going to be, it's kind of like almost a teaching type thing, possibly, for what's coming up in the next numbers of weeks. There might be some other people, depending, that might be bringing some messages in between there. I'm not sure what the Lord's going to do. But when I'm speaking, I know that the Lord is pushing me to talk about the Holy Spirit in particular ways. All right, so that's what the Lord's giving me to talk about for a little while, and the culmination of that's going to be on Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, which this year happens to be May the 16th, which is not 50 days this year from Resurrection Day. There's a few years over the course of hundreds and thousands of years where that happened, where this particular thing happens. It happens that this year, it's a week early. 50 days would be the 23rd of May, but it's on the 16th of May this year. And there's a reason for it. It's too complicated. I don't want to spend time with it, but that's that.
So would you open up your Bibles? We'll just start out reading in the book of Acts in chapter 2. Everybody knows this pretty well. Acts chapter 2. What's in Acts chapter 2? The day of Pentecost. All right, the day of Pentecost. And it says here, I'll start in verse 1. I'm going to read down to verse 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them, cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so this was what the church all through the years has said. This was the birth of the church. This was when the church was empowered to go out and make disciples of the nations in a much greater way than previously. It was just the 12 at first, and now here was 120, and then there was 3,000 people that came to Christ after Peter spoke. So this was the birthing of the church. So I want to talk about this. The apostles had Jesus himself for 3 years, 3.5 years. And then on the day of his ascension, he goes up and, goodbye. You'll see me again, but not for a little while. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And I want you to stay in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. That's what is talked about in chapter 1. And then, so they hung around until the Lord poured out his Spirit. Amen. So all of us have the Spirit of God in us. If we've been born again, we have received from the Spirit of God. Now, I had a number of scriptures just to prove that to you, but I don't think I need to, do I? Everybody in this room believes that you have the Spirit of God in you, the Holy Spirit in you, right?
Amen.
So I don't have to go through all the scriptures. There's plenty of them. I have picked out a few, but I don't think I need to do that. But it's very clear that once we believe that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And that the Holy Spirit is given to us as a down payment for more and greater things that God has in store for us. And he gives us the Holy Spirit because we can't do the things he wants us to do in our own efforts or in our own power. We need the Holy Spirit to do anything when it comes to living rightly, doing things that God tells us to do. We don't just go out and do it in our own power. We need the Holy Spirit of God. And there's numerous things that the Scripture talks about in terms of what the Holy Spirit supplies to us. And so over the course of the next numbers of weeks, I'm going to focus in on particular ones and then expand using other scriptures to talk about what that really means. Today, we're going to look at one very particular thing. And it has to do with our fellowship. The Holy Spirit is into fellowship. And this whole year of COVID has really disrupted fellowship in a real big way. Wouldn't you think?
Yes.
Yesterday I saw someone I hadn't seen in a while, in Walmart, and I went over. She was from me to Kathy away, and I saw her and went, "Oh, hi!" and she said hi back, and I stepped toward her, and then I thought, "Oh, what if she doesn't want me to get too close?" So I said, "Is it okay if I give you a hug?" And she goes, "Oh yeah." So and we embrace. But isn't that horrible that the touch, the embracing? We need the contact with one another. I don't think we realize what that really means and does to us until we don't have it for a while.
Yeah.
Isn't that true?
So we did it more often.
Did you hear it? She said, since they weren't around us, they did it more often between themselves. That's a good way to modify that. So this is what I'm going to talk about. The scripture there, Acts 2, the book of Acts, the word Acts is a Greek word, and the word is praxis. Any of you teachers, did you have to take the praxis?
Yes.
Yes.
You had to take the praxis test, didn't you?
Multiple times.
Praxis. And the Greek word praxis, just so other people know, teachers have to take a praxis test in order to be allowed to teach. You have to have certain abilities to be able to teach. And so this is what this praxis test is supposed to test for. But the word praxis means extraordinary acts, extraordinary accomplishments. Isn't that interesting?
Let me see if there was anything else about that.
I guess in the direct definition, great deeds. So the title for that book is The Acts of the Apostles, but it's the great deeds of the apostles. But you and I also know through other scriptures, they didn't do those on them by themselves, did they?
No.
Anything that they did by the power of the Holy Spirit working in them. Now, I think I mentioned to you, and you said you knew. You have, every single person in here has the Holy Spirit of God in them. Yes or no?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So you and I have great potential. Don't we? To do the deeds, great deeds. And this doesn't mean something that's so great and dramatic, but to do the great things that God wants to do in this earth, and He's going to use you and me. In a grand way. Now He's, it's him that's doing, that has the power, that supplies the power. But He uses us, doesn't He?
Yes.
And that was confirmed, in the words of the songs as well, which really, the Lord's just really been speaking this to me a lot. So I'm jumping down through here because I'm not going to go down through all the stuff about you being sure that you know that the Spirit of God's in you. Because sometimes we don't really feel Him all the time, do we?
Mm-hmm.
And it is a matter of faith most of the time. You get up and sometimes you're talking and something just kind of fills you and you know it's God. There's other times where you don't feel anything, but you're stepping out and you're doing what God wants you to do. You're being moved, you're being led by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
It isn't some dramatic, extraordinary thing. Most of the time, I think it's reaching out and doing the thing that you're hearing God say to give that person a call. Mm-hmm. Step up to you see some evil, to step up and stand in the gap and say, no, you can't keep doing this. Right? There's so many different ways that we are going to hear from God, and then He expects us to do what He wants us to do, doesn't He? And this is all because of our fellowship. So what I want you to do is turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And it's right near the end. I think it is the last verse in chapter 13. It's verse 14. This is what it says there. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Amen. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus went up into heaven, who did He send? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Father, they're all of one essence, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so we don't have the person of Jesus in His resurrected body here, but every single one of us have the person of Jesus in the Holy Spirit. Right here in our midst, in our personal midst, and in our corporate midst, right here. Now that should make any of us kind of go, oh man, I want to think right, boss. Right? You're the boss. I do what you want me to do. Right? Because you're in me. And you have works that you want me to do. Do you hear that? God has something for all of us to do. And it's every day. And it doesn't have to be preaching the gospel necessarily. It's listening and obeying whatever He's telling you to do. Isn't that right? Sometimes it's going to be to share the gospel of salvation to someone. Sometimes it's going to be something different. And He's, you know, we got to have our ears open all the time. Don't we?
Yeah.
And I think we do a lot. But, you know, let's remember to keep our ears open, right? Because He speaks to us every single day, many, many, many times. And the thing of this is, the fellowship of the Spirit. Yeah. As I've read down through a lot of the Scripture, you know, the Holy Spirit, that's what He loves, is connection with you. He's come inside you so that you can't get away from Him. He's there. You're not getting rid of the Holy Spirit. And he wants that relationship that started with Him coming into your being to grow. Doesn't He?
Yes.
He wants that experience to deepen and really grow into something more and more and more. And I think this is why, you know, Reggie was talking there. You know, when we don't listen to Him, doesn't feel too good when we realize that we weren't listening. Because he has something for us. This Holy Spirit that's, I don't know, all around, but also inside of us. Nothing to be afraid of, is it? I know sometimes when I was a young Christian, I was almost afraid to hear what God might say to me because it might be something I don't want to do.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid there might still be traces of that inside of me. How about you? You know? And so I think there could be a lot of Christians who are a little bit afraid of the Holy Spirit. And you know, if we don't open up to the Holy Spirit, you've heard this many times, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He doesn't force himself on anybody. But if we're reaching out and we're saying, Holy Spirit, come, you know, fill this place. Wow. And if you're saying the same thing I am, as I'm speaking it out loud, and you're saying, yeah, Lord, come in a more fantastic way, he's going to do that. It might not be right now. Maybe it will. But God's going to do something. The more we put out there and the more we reach out to the Spirit of God, the more he is so willing to have that fellowship with us. The big thing that I'm seeing too is that when I'm having fellowship, and this is the hard thing for me, when I'm having fellowship with other people that are Christians, I'm having fellowship with the Holy Spirit in that regard as well. Does everybody understand what I just said?
Yes.
Our fellowship with one another is so important in our development and growth of our relationship with the Holy Spirit himself. You hearing that? So, Mr. Hermit Malcolm needs to get out of his hermitage. I don't even know if that's the right word. So, this word, in verse 14, 2 Corinthians 13, in the King James it has the word communion. So the word communion and the word fellowship is the same word. And it means, and the Greek word is, I know almost everybody's heard this word, koinonia. Alright? The koinonia is the fellowship that we are supposed to have with one another. It's a koinonia. When you read the writings of early church fathers, was really supposed to characterize what the church was about. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit and fellowship with one another. And it bugs me that this past year we haven't had that. And I've really seen how much I missed that. You know, especially in those early months. But we need that fellowship, and so, more phone calls. Get out and let's start visiting a little more with each other again. Right? I hope that this can happen because I really sense that the Lord is really speaking this. Would you go to Philippians chapter 1? You see in Philippians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, it says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now,
Paul's talking about how he prays for them, and he's praying for them to have this fellowship in the gospel. Being confident of this very thing, that he that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And he's talking about good works, and that he has given to each of us things to do. You hear that? The fellowship of the Holy Spirit is such that when we have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, not only do we get to know him better, but he is asking us to do things. And he shows us what those things are. And for each of us, that could be different. I didn't use one of the scriptures that earlier. Let me see if I can find it. Just for your referencing, if you want to go back and look at it, 1 Corinthians 12:7, I'm not going to turn there. It says, each of us, every person, has been given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. We all can't do everything. We can't. And so God gives us a manifestation, gives us a particular direction to focus our energies to do the particular good works that he wants us to do. And it's going to be different for some than for others. Some people are going to be focused on some particular things, and other people will be doing something else. Is that right? You understand that? So, but every one of us, it isn't just the elders and the deacons. Every single one of us in this room have things to do, and God is speaking, and we have to be obedient, right? Because this is something special. This is the extraordinary thing that God wants you to do, wants me to do, wants every one of us to do in a particular way, at a particular time. And if he's asking us to do it, he's going to give us the power to do it.
Yes.
Won't he?
Yes. Yes.
It might not look the way we expect it to look. There's many times the Lord's told me to do something, I've stepped out and done it, and I've fallen flat on my nose. From my own perspective. Because I expected a different kind of result. You know, when God wants us to do things, we just think it's all, you know, it's going to be glory and the roses are floating, you know, people have thrown out the roses there on the floor for you to walk on. Everything's going to be hunky-dory. And that's not the way it is it? We just need to hear, know, obey, right? That's what we have to do. And don't be afraid. He's made us brave. Another part of that song, right? All of this weaves together. And I can say one thing to all of you and to myself. It's very clear to me that what the Lord is giving as a rhema word for us right now is certainly that.
Yeah.
It's been confirmed by the song, the words in the songs, by what people said prior. By this, God is being so faithful to us and getting us so ready, if we will be willing, to do even grander works when things start going in a much worse situation. Right now, I don't like it the way it is now. But it could get a lot worse, and it probably will get a lot worse. And we have to be above that and not allow any of that kind of stuff to get us misfocused, right?
Right.
We have to hear what God wants us to do and then do it. Right?
And some people are going to be involved with doing something in the political realm. Some people are going to be doing something in some other, in other realms, social realms. It's going to happen. And if I have a particular thing, then I can't say, well, you all have to do what I'm doing. I can say, this is what I think, and then you make your own mind up, right? Mm. And the same with you with me, right? And if there's a witness, then you do it. If there's a witness from the Spirit, then that's when we do things.
Yes.
All right?
Okay, so the other word that was in this, that's in some of the other translations, instead of fellowship in verse 5, it says partnership. Isn't that kind of cool?
Yeah.
We're partners with the Holy Spirit. A partner. It's like a husband and wife. It's like, you know, two people that are in business together. You know? There's a thing where the one relies on the other relies on that person, you know, on the other person. You know, we rely on the Holy Spirit to give us direction and to give us power. The Holy Spirit relies on us to listen to Him and then do. It isn't just going to happen if we're just there. Sometimes all the Spirit wants us to do is pray. But there's a lot of other times where we're to pray and then we're to do something. Aren't we? Yes. Okay.
I wrote down there as I was reading over in the thing about partnership and all of that was, this is a very active kind of relationship. It's active koinonia. It isn't just praying for people. It's actually being engaged with what God is doing. And there's so many places that God has His hand in this world. Isn't that right?
Yes.
So, I'm just going to mention some scriptures. Don't put it up. I'm only going to be there for like 3 seconds. Ephesians 2:10 says that we were created in Christ for good works. Hebrews 10:24 says that we're to assemble to provoke one another to love and good works.
Yeah.
Remind one another of the things that are happening so that we can be praying for things, or maybe as God directs to go do some things about situations.
Yes.
Right? This is what he's saying. Titus 2:14 says, we're to be a people zealous for good works. Well, the good works don't mean anything unless we're being led by the Spirit. We can't be just going off and doing things on our own. Oh, this is a good thing to do, or that's a good thing to do. No, we need to be led by the Spirit to those places. That means that we actually have to have a relationship with the Spirit, where we're abiding in the Spirit of God. It's the only way we have to live in the Spirit of God.
Yes, and what?
You know, Luke 4:1 says Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He was actually led there by the Spirit of God. He didn't just decide, no, I think I'll just go out in the wilderness. No, he was led there. And this is where in Romans 8:14 it says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. We can't act like sons if we're not being led by the Spirit. It's that it's more mature. It's the mature sons of God. Right?
We do want to grow up there.
And so would you turn? This will
probably be the last scripture I'm going to have to turn to. John 15. John 15. Something I just mentioned. John 15, starting in verse 4. I'm going to read 4, 5, and 6. And it's about abiding.
Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. That means live in me.
Yeah.
Turn to me. Know what I'm saying. Have a relationship on a much deeper level, right? I think we can, what's the thing? Walk and chew gum. We can go through, we can do two things at the same time. Some of us, all of us should be able to. We can walk and chew gum. We can live and take care of the things in this life that we have to do, going to jobs and doing particular things and the necessary things and the automatic things that you have to do. But in the process of all of that, we can still be connecting with God, can't we?
Yeah.
And if we have trouble with that, we can ask God, and God can help us to make that more of the habit of who we are. Isn't that right?
Yes. Yes.
You know, I look around and He wants to use every single person here in particular ways. And maybe that throws some fear into some of us. Because we don't know exactly what that's going to look like. Or we have our own ideas that we don't want. Please God, don't let it be that. But what I want to say is probably, for most of us, the things that God is going to initially start speaking to you is going to be things that you're comfortable with. You're probably already doing it. You don't even know. But there will come a time where God is going to push you into something beyond what you're comfortable about. Right? And if you know it's the Spirit of God, then I hope that you're gonna do it.
Like Fred did today.
Like Fred. Yeah. He stepped out.
Yeah.
Thank you again, Fred. He stepped out.
Yeah.
Uncomfortable, but he did it. You know? It's good.
Yes.
Good. Great.
Yes.
So the more, and I'll tell you what, the more we live in Christ, we truly live there, not just say it, not just want it, but the more that we actually allow ourselves to step into that ongoing relationship with the Holy Spirit of God, things change in our life.
Yes.
And we find that we have the boldness. That's one of the qualities about moving in the Spirit that is definite from the Word of God. There's a boldness that righteous people have. There's a boldness there. And there's a whole bunch of other things that I'm going to speak on over the course of the next numbers of weeks. So in verse 4 again, abide in me and I in you, and as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except that it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same will bring forth much fruit. Well, don't you want to be able to offer that? Right? Isn't that something? That other thing, I just briefly mentioned it. I just thought about it again. What we did today with communion, you know, communion is is fellowship, the koinonia. It's also a sharing, and you have to be around people to share most of the time, don't you? There's a sharing that's involved, we can't share if we're not abiding too well. I'll tell you that. If a man does not abide in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. You go off and just kind of be off by yourself. We lose something of the life of God. We lose something of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit when we're not in fellowship with the rest of the brethren. Right? It doesn't have to be all of us all at the same time. But we need that connection with fellow believers, don't we?
Yes.
God's speaking this for a particular reason. And I know that as time goes on here, it's going to become very clear why he wants us to be ready and be people that are truly, truly abiding in him, in the fellowship of the Spirit, and in fellowship with one another. It will become crystal clear.
Thank you, Lord.
If you don't know already.
Thank you, Lord.
So, Lord, I just pray today that I thank you first for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Lord, your Spirit that's in us and among us
is so awesome of a gift. And I thank you that you've given us this, that we could have the power that we need, the love that we need, the
joy and the peace and the self-control, all of the gifts of the Spirit
we have within us, that if we just reach out and grab a hold of it, it's ours. And so I thank you today, Lord. I ask that you strengthen and encourage everybody here, those that couldn't make it today, those that are on Zoom, Lord, that we would find that resting place in you, that we would be zealous for love and good deeds, that we would be hearers of the Holy Spirit and be obedient to do what he tells us to do. Thank you, Lord, today. We praise you. We thank you again.